Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today I have Sean Albertson together with me. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Oh, hello, Greg. How are you doing today? I'm so happy to be here with you.
Thank you very much. A great pleasure to kick off this discussion, to kick off this game together with you. We are going to discuss about four rocks: reduce effort, drive loyalty, transform the customer journey. I think it's a great book and I'm super happy that we can discuss it on this podcast. But as usual, before we kick off the discussion, let's introduce yourself. Could you please quickly say a few words about you?
Sure. So Sean Albertson, I ran customer experience programs for 20 plus years across several different industries and businesses, from startups to Fortune 200. And last year, I took all of that knowledge and I authored in my first book and published it and launched my own speaking and consulting business. So happy to join you and happy to be here with you. And I love the goalkeeper, you know, context here, because it does feel like sometimes as CX professionals, we're having to play that role for sure.
And I think you will have a lot of fans on about your book and your work, and therefore again this feeling of being in a stadium and all the fans saying yes, let's do that. Yeah. And as you mentioned that, or as you phrased that, it's the first book, and perhaps it will be a second or a third one, but let's start with the first one.
Absolutely.
And which values drive you in life?
So I'm the son of a Christian minister and a teacher. And so, you know, my entire life, I really think, you know, the values that drove me came from my parents. And it's about serving others. It's about doing it, you know, having that servant's attitude, really focusing also on educating others and bringing them up with you. And so for me, the core values have really been that, always sharing more and using what I know to help make others better, whether it's when I was in a corporate role on my teams and my business, but now I get an even greater opportunity to kind of share that with the public and really anyone who wants to learn more about customer experience and the ways to drive that. And so ultimately, that's what I'm here for. I started on the phones, you know, in a contact center back in the, you know, mid 90s. And just, you know, it was from that point on that it was all about providing, you know, exceptional service. And then when experience became part of the conversation, you know, it became even more passionate of mine, because again, it's all about the entire experience a customer has with a company. And so I'm excited to be able to really help companies across the globe in that space.
Thank you very much. That's great. And now let's really start this discussion, this game. I think that's quite clear, the name of your book, Four Rocks, and let's unpack them. Could you please quickly explain this Four Rocks framework?
Sure. The first thing is, I'm here in Colorado in the United States, and the Rocky Mountains are, you know, beautiful. They're right here near me, and I've done a lot of whitewater rafting and hiking and things of that nature. And it started to connect with me a while back that when we think about the customer's journey, when we as a customer, when we're dealing with the company for whatever reason, it's like we're floating down a river. Now, as a company, we hope that it's always nice and straight and easy. It's like a lazy river or on a relaxing day. But too often, the challenges that our customers have and we have as customers are like obstacles that get in the way. So like rocks in a river, they're things that cause you to bounce off and have to try a different channel, from the website to calling or chatting or chatbots and all of this complex technology. Social media now is a way we engage. And so really, this analogy of the customer journey being a river and the rocks are those things that get in the way: poorly trained agents, broken processes, technology that doesn't work right. Companies know they've got a lot of problems. That's not the issue. The issue is picking which ones to fix first. So my rock strategy leverages operational metrics, survey programs. It uses text analytics and journey analytics, all powered by AI, to find to identify, analyze, and ultimately help a company prioritize the most important things to fix. Because it's not always the highest volume. No matter what a contact center leader says, yes, those are important because you want to make sure you reduce calls as you can. But sometimes the most painful are lower volume activities because let's call them a really sharp rock in your shoe versus a big boulder. That's still going to do a lot of damage.
And that's clear. But now that you're sharing that, prioritizing, it's also an important topic because companies have 200 opportunities what to do, what to improve. How do you help companies prioritizing these items?
So a big part of it is looking at all of the data. Now, a lot of companies are still struggling with having their data spread too far in too many different places. Ultimately, whether it's in, you know, building a data warehouse or working with a company to use external sources, it's bringing the right kind of data together. So as I mentioned earlier, all those different sources, inevitably, most companies that I consult with, they have really good data somewhere in their business, but they might not be using it for the right purpose. They have web logs and digital activity. They have, you know, phone data, plenty, you know, in contact centers have all sorts of data around the calls that they're receiving. It's really about bringing those together. And so ultimately leveraging the analytics in a way that says, what is the most predictive of pain points? What's the most predictive of churn? Because it all comes back to, and my book, Four Rocks, is a little bit of kind of a throwback to a book that came back in 2013 called The Effortless Experience. And what the company found at that point was if something's hard for a customer to do, they, at that time, they were four times more likely to be disloyal. In my research today, high effort predicts five times more likely to now be disloyal because it's growing, because it's all the faults of this in our pockets. If it's not easy, we're out. You know, if my journey is full of rocks and rapids and pain points, I'm going to go to another company that has it much easier because my last best experience is now my minimum expectation for everyone else. And I heard you talking to David Abern about some of that same concepts about being ridiculously easy to do business with. I'm right there with you. But it's understanding, it's not just the purpose of being easy, but you've got to use a real data-driven approach to find those most impactful things. Because a lot of challenges for CX practitioners, myself included in the past, was got great data from surveys or whatever, but you don't know how to quantify it. And so the fallback often is, well, which happens most often? The new question should be, well, which happens that creates the greatest churn triggers? That's where we're going with the use of new technology, the new capabilities of tracking, and really the new analytics power of generative AI and other AI to really drive that prediction and drive that understanding. Because now you're not just guessing or picking the highest volume. You're actually targeting those most important things.
Thank you. And I really think that what you're saying is key. It's not always starting with the biggest rocks, but finding the right rocks, the sharp one that are really damaging the experience in the company and for the customer. Perhaps can you share one project, one initiatives that you are working with the company that you say, this is a good example to share or a great example to share? Please, without sharing secrets and so on.
Sure. No, absolutely. I was consulting with a company and we were listening across their website, their mobile app, and their call center data. And we initiated what I call the rocks, you know, reporting, and we were able to see where the breakdowns were in that experience. And all of a sudden, because we track this, you know, over weeks, at least potentially months, depending on the business, but we were tracking it over weeks, and all of a sudden, a specific activity jumped to the top of the list in high effort. So we knew something happened new. It triggered that jump in higher effort was also triggered by people who tried to go online before calling. That also spiked. And then the lack of resolution also spiked. And repeat contacts from the call center also spiked. So now we knew something happened to the website that created a challenge that was impacting the call center and ultimately the customers, which is why they were calling. And what we were able to uncover through that was a minor change to an email campaign created or broke the digital process. And that jump allowed us to quickly look at that technology and identify very quickly via the web logs what happened. And they'd actually moved the email up 2 days, but they moved the email up before the link worked. So people were clicking on the link, it wasn't working. And then not only was it not working, it broke the entire process and they were having to start over. What was interesting about that, after we did all the research and we kind of were doing our debrief about that exercise, we went back to the contact center and we said, were you hearing this? And they're like, well, it doesn't happen that often. So yeah, you know, little by little, little pieces of it we were hearing about. But again, because it wasn't a super high volume, they didn't realize it, the kind of impact it had. And many of those customers, because it was actually a foundational part of being a customer for this company, a lot of those customers didn't come back. They actually, because of that error, they left. And so what that without the data-driven approach, we might not have known about it for months because it just wasn't loud enough. There wasn't enough frequency, but we immediately saw via the data that the higher effort spike with repeat contacts, website issues, it was you know, really a game changer for the business because now they were reacting to real data that had a real impact, not just, again, wishing they were focused on the right things.
And what I really like from this example is small changes is a broken link instead of doing big transformation projects that takes years to implement and to bring really to that create value for the customers, looking at these small things using leveraging data. And I think as a consultant, you have the great opportunity to see a lot of different companies and to speak with a lot of people. What are the common mistakes that companies are doing and perhaps how can they avoid them?
Well, one is a lot of companies are chasing new technology too fast. So again, ChatGPT, you know, generative AI, chatbots, you know, it's all the buzz, right? You know, ever since, you know, the launch, you know, a couple of years ago with OpenAI. So the reality is a lot of companies are running really fast towards, oh, I want to create technology. I want to create a new contact point. Think back though, over the last decade, that's not new. You know, people were running after text messaging as soon as it became prominent, social media interactions and using that as a service channel, chatbots, obviously, but any number of other communication channels. And so what happens in businesses too often is they say, we need to be there for our customers, however they want to interact with us. But here's the reality. If those interaction channels aren't connected, you're actually creating more problems. You're creating more rocks in the customer journey because they're disconnected. And there's this conversation, are you multi-channel? Or are you omni-channel? Because multi-channel means you can do a lot of different things in a lot of different channels with our company. Omni-channel, though, is you can start in one channel, and if you have to switch, you pick up where you left off in the other channel. You don't have to repeat any steps. And most companies who might think they're omni-channel, when they challenge themselves to look at that, they realize, no, customers have to start over. And so that frustration can be very challenging for most businesses. So to me, it's not about going after new contact channels or technology fast. It's going about it the right way and making sure that every piece you add is integrated to what you have. And that is what a lot of companies have gotten themselves really into trouble with, is by chasing something too fast. There's any number of you know, stories out there about companies who launched a chatbot before it was ready and it cost them money. So I won't belabor that point, but that's really what's happening these days.
I think you are touching two points that are really important. And perhaps let me quickly discuss both of them. I share them and then we go one after the others. The first one is exactly what you're saying. Companies are using or willing to implement these technologies. And we know the pace of the change is extremely high. And they're bringing solutions to the customer that are not a minimum viable product. They are broken solution, but they want to put them out because they said to the, I don't know, to the CEO, next week we will be live, or the technology provider committed in a 3 weeks project, you have the perfect chatbot out there. This is one thing that I think we can discuss. And the other thing is, I see a lot of technology companies, and nothing against all these great solutions that are out there, they are pitching something like what you're saying. They are offering 27 different channels, all channels that you have, and you can have all them multi-channel 24/7 everywhere. But does it really make sense to offer all these channels for perhaps one, two customer using that? And how can keep companies balance of all these different channels? Let's start with the first one. What's your view on the first point?
Well, yes, I think technology in my career of 20 plus years running a lot of technology projects to improve the experience. Unfortunately, there's a lot of over-promising and under-delivering. That's just standard. So, any organization that's being told they're going to get X, they need to back that off a certain percentage point. And again, I think it comes down to thinking about thinking about it as the way of this is part of the process, part of the platform. So the way I like to talk about it is there in this order, your any change you go through, you need to think about it people, process, then platform, because it really first is about the people. You got to make sure your organization is aligned, everybody understands what you're doing, why you're doing, and the purpose of said project. That is the core to make sure, because they've got to be there to support you, whether they're the ones building it or supporting it after it's launched. Then it's about the process. You think about things like, if I launch this technology and it breaks, what do I do? So you actually have to build your processes for close feedback, for real time and emergency response for stuff when it goes wrong, because it will. That friend Murphy and his law of things going wrong when they can, they will. And why I talk about platform last, first off, is it is last. I think that's the third component. So you've taken care of people and process before you launch said technology. But I also use the word platform because, again, it goes back to it's not about technology, pieces of technology. Platform represents its technology that is organized cohesively into a platform. That way you're able to understand that. So thinking through that in that level and making sure that, again, you're not chasing the technology for technology's sake, you're going after it for purpose. I think going into that kind of that second question, you also have to be very, forceful with yourself to say, what can I do and what's the best way to do it? So if you think about it, a big part of what we talk about in my consulting and as a speaker is about, it's about the journey. I already kind of talked about earlier, this journey is a river. The river takes them across a lot of different touch points or communication channels, et cetera. Well, you have to know in advance which journeys you're measuring. You sit down across the organization and say, what are the top things, the most important things that customers do with us, and what channels do they use in that case? So you're thinking ahead of it to say, not all channels can be used for all journeys. And in fact, some of the best companies I know will actually interrupt a customer if they're trying to do something in the wrong channel and just say, hey, here's a number, call us directly here because it will be easier if we take care of it that way. Now, that's not heard of for most companies. They're like, I want to hide the phone number. I don't want anybody to know where it is. But if you think about it, let me use as an example, if you know your business that if you as a customer want to disconnect services with me, you're going to have to talk to somebody. Let's just say that's your policy. Well, then don't create any avenue to even start the process down the chat bot or the chat or right on the website, say, hey, for this kind of activity, please call here. Because again, you want them to go where it's easiest for them, even if calling isn't quote unquote the easiest. But if you know they're going to get frustrated if they try it elsewhere, send them right up front to that department. The other side of that is use the tools you have to make it easier as well. So I'll use an example. I was proactively communicated with by a company that I needed to update something, and great, send me a link. Link went to the FAQs, et cetera, et cetera. I did pick up the phone and called, but it knew, hey, Mr. Albertson, I see that this is about to happen on your account. Is that why you're calling? Why, yes, it is. Let me route you to that department. So even in that context, make it easy to get to the right group, because nothing's more frustrating than bouncing around and hitting those rocks. So
I really like what you're saying. And I had a similar situation. I was asking a company a specific question and they told me you can chat with us or you can try to use the FAQs. I went to the FAQs. They pushed me to the chat, and in the chat, the statement was, for this specific issue, you need to write us an email. And they said, okay, this is the third channel I am using to contact you, and my problem is not solved. At the end, they solved my issues. It was good, but from a channel point of view, it's multi-channel, it's omni-channel, is exactly what you are saying. Speaking about technology, perhaps not willing to be unpolite, we did a bit of bashing about technology. Now let's switch on the positive side. How can technology help to companies and customers then to have really good experiences?
Absolutely. Well, and like we said, technology, if done wrong, creates problems. However, when technology is done right, and there's a lot of great technology out there, when it's done right, it can do amazing things. You know, so for instance, a lot of the conversations we're having today is, you know, how do I use generative AI in my business? Because there's honestly several different ways you can use it. Obviously, there is the chatbot, let me try to reduce calls by self-service, right? That's one of the more common. There's also, I can use generative AI in research tools and analytics tools. We've been using AI for analytics for a very long time, and generative AI is just a more powerful version of that. I've seen tools recently, for instance, that I could type a question of my data and do all the work and pull the summary back of here's what the answer is. Incredible opportunity there. And then the next is have it, obviously, and this is another key one that we talk a lot about, have it where it can help the employees. Because, you know, I think that is the area, especially within contact centers, you know, we definitely are seeing a lot more investment and should, because that kind of technology is really a game changer. You know, again, having run call centers early in my career, you know, we talk about we want to reduce costs. Well, the flip side of that is increase value, because using generative AI, using agent assist tools and real-time coaching and things of that nature can actually help you transition your contact center from a cost center to a value center, where now they're being prompted for cross-sell and upsell opportunities, for next best action, for personalization, all that's adding even more value into that experience. Oh, and by the way, a well-trained agent who's using technology won't just arbitrarily make a huge mistake like a chatbot can, because there's part of that governance that's going through, you know, in that process. And so that's where I see a lot of successful companies going, is really engaging in this new technology in a way that supports their people and their processes more than it really is just technology for itself. And they're driving that value. But some incredible things are coming and are already here, honestly. So it's just an amazing time of change, and it's only going to get better.
And you mentioned that some great things are coming, and therefore perhaps not only specific to technology, but in general. What emerging trends are you foreseeing or seeing that we should prepare for?
Well, I think the culmination of the power of these tools is what I'm seeing coming. Right now, we're still segmented. You know, we have tools that do this, and then tools that do this, and this, and this. As we bring that power together, we're actually going to see cohesiveness even across those tools and intelligence where they're communicating with each other. I'll use an example or just kind of tell a story. Two summers ago, I was asked in a panel, you know, at a conference, you know, what do you see the contact center looking like in 5 years? And at the time, I was just like, well, here's what I think is going to happen. One of the biggest challenges of contact centers is you have to have people that really like to talk to people, and they're very outgoing and empathetic, but they also have to manage all these like tools and be efficient and effective. Well, sometimes those skills don't meet in the middle with the right people. And I said, here's the reality. The future is the employees are going to be empathetic. They're going to be great. They're going to have, you know, they're going to be able to talk to Greg and have a great conversation with Greg and make Greg feel great as a customer. And oh, by the way, while they're talking, the tools are doing all the work. You know, if you are placing an order, it's capturing that Greg ordered this and here's what he ordered and so forth. And I, as an agent in that conversation, just making sure it's getting done okay. And then, you know, over here, and then the articles are popping up and across the opportunities. And I'm just having a really good conversation, but the work is getting done under my supervision. That's the future of the contact center, because I'm adding more value. I'm adding more engagement. I'm creating more of a relationship. The technology is making me efficient and making me accurate. That was before ChatGPT came out. That was the summer before. So as soon as I saw that, I'm like, 5 years, that's 3 years. I mean, we're already in that cycle where, you know, there's automation, but then there's, you know, this automated support. And I think that is the key of where we're going, is bringing all those pieces together instead of, you know, onesie twosie like they are right now, of really making the power of the collective intelligence, you know, take it to the next level.
Exactly. And I think the main point is how I phrase that is simplification, simplifying these processes for agents, because I often see companies creating the best tools, the best channels for the customer outside, and then the contact center agent is using seven different tools with seven different layouts, one here, one there, and you need to log in. And for a compliance reason, you need to log in every 2 hours in the same system and so on. And I think if AI or technology could support them, it would create a lot of value. We are coming to an end of this discussion of this game, but in the extra time, I still have three questions for you. And it's perfectly timed because you spoke about 3 years' time, 5 years' time. And now, Sean, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast in 10 years from now, what we are discussing about.
I'll tell you what, 10 years might as well be 50 years. I think the rate of change we're going to see. And so I'll just say this. I think, you know, I think that we are going to be in a position where we will revert back to human connection. Where we can, we're going to use technology, because honestly, it's going to be so available. The easy stuff, it's going to, you know, it's just going to be prevalent, right? You know, whether it's on my, you know, my virtual reality set or on my car dash, or I'll just be able to talk to, you know, it's going to all be connected and the technology is going to be there. But because of that, people will start to yearn for that people connection. So the ability, for instance, and this won't take 10 years, but the ability, for instance, of picking up a phone and getting a person at the company right away, no matter how big they are, will be a real possibility very soon. Because again, going back to it, the work's getting done by the technology in support of the agent. Now I, as an agent, I can take any call. Departments are gone. I'm just, you call, I answer. And I'm there to help you and have that conversation. The technology is taking care of the hard work. And that's going to be what we go back to. Because, you know, we will actually have so much of that other technology doing a lot of the work for us. Robots, robotics, I think that's going to be a key part of it as we move forward. I did a self-service innovation summit last fall that the robots that are serving you food in a restaurant and all the things that are happening, I mean, it's just becoming, it will be so much more prevalent as we move forward. But again, I think no matter how much of that technology, the direction it takes us, that human interaction is going to be even tighter from that perspective as we move forward.
And I'm looking forward to discuss that with you, perhaps not in 10 years, but in the next few years, few months. What's the best way to contact you?
So a couple of different ways. So my website is cx4rocks.com, 4rocks being my book, but it's customer experience for rocks. But I'm also on LinkedIn, S. Albertson, Sean Albertson. Happy to, you know, connect with anyone via those two methods. And my contact information is on my website as well. So.
Thank you very much. And where we can find your book?
So the book is available on Amazon. Just search for 4Rocks and it'll come right up. Sean Albertson as the author. You can order it, you know, from there, both in paperback and Kindle. So different options there as well.
Thank you very much. And now we are coming to the last question. Sean's golden nugget, it's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience?
So again, I think it comes back to businesses are notoriously built in silos. And because of that, you know, that specialization of being a digital person versus the contact center person, et cetera, when that specialization creates the boundaries between and the lack of communication across, that's when it becomes a silo. And it's human nature. This is not I know of a couple of companies that I think they want to be siloed. But most companies, it's just, hey, I've got a boss. My boss wants me to do this. And we're graded on, you know, this stuff. So I'm going to focus on that. They don't really think about looking up and looking across. So for me, one of the best golden nuggets for now is to start talking in your organization about the journey and just create working groups. Get a couple of digital folks, website folks with a contact center, people from different parts of the organization to come together and have a conversation about one thing that your customer does, one journey, it will be amazing what you'll learn from that. Because some of the most valuable dialogue I've created between departments is between a web team and the call center team who took the calls when the website didn't work. The ability for them just to have a conversation and share with each other, there were so many new things and value adds for the customer that came out of that. You don't need technology for that. You don't need generative AI for that. You just need to have a conversation. You need to create, get the people involved and create a process to create that communication. That is the golden nugget for now, because we've gotten really good at channel and task. It's the space in between where we struggle. When I'm bouncing around, that's where the rocks show up most. Just start having a conversation, and that can create value well beyond the time you spend doing it. Can really boost your customer-centric culture as well.
Thank you very much, Sean, for this golden nugget. And I think also this was a great conversation. Sean, please stay with me to the audience. It's everything for today. I hope you enjoyed this discussion. Please post this podcast. Go to Amazon, buy the book, Four Rocks. I really recommend to buy that and read that and connect with Sean if you have any question related to the book or related to CX. Thank you very much and bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.